Welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker is Central Florida Bible Church's pastor, John Pereira. You may wish to have paper and pen for important information following the message. For more information regarding prior broadcasts and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, www.strengthfortoday.info. That's www.strengthfortoday.info. Now, here is Pastor John proclaiming the strength for today.
Our subject today for our Strength for Today Bible broadcast is how to be used of God. I'd like to ask you a question today. Is it your desire to be used of God? Do you hunger and thirst after the passion of being involved in eternal things? Some of you might think, well, that type of passion is only fulfilled by those that enter into full-time Christian service. Not so. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, Paul told the believers at the church at Corinth, "For ye are laborers together with God." Think of it, being a laborer together with the Lord. As King David reflected on the omnipresence of God, oftentimes called the ubiquity of God, he concludes his majestic thoughts in Psalm 139 by a prayer. And he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The Hebrew could be translated at this point, "and lead me in the way of everlasting things." You see, when we are laborers together with God, we're going to seek to invest and pour out our lives in things that are not going to be temporal, but rather those things that are eternal. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, was conducting a revival service in a large auditorium, and as he was fellowshipping with the family over dinner after the evening service, a visitor who had not been present at the service asked him, "How many decisions were made tonight?" To which Dwight L. Moody answered, 3.5. The friend then remarked, "Oh, you mean 3 adults and 1 child. Dwight L. Moody quickly responded, "No, 3 children and 1 adult, because those children have their entire life to give to the Lord. The adult only has half of his life remaining." May God challenge our hearts to serve the Lord, however long we may have upon this earth, remembering that God is able to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. One of the marks of truly being saved is a desire to be obedient unto the Lord. A cup must be emptied before it can be filled. Are you willing to empty your cup of self-seeking, self-righteousness, self-will, and emptying it so that you might be filled with the Spirit of the living God? Then be in a place where you can begin to be used mightily of God. We're going to be looking at seven ways that we can be used of God. The first way that we can be used of God, and the first requirement to be used of God, is to be sure of your salvation. Otherwise, we're going to be the blind leading the blind. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount uttered the following words, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise man, which built his house on a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Notice, first of all, that both individuals encountered the storms of life. The one who built his house on the rock and the one that built it upon the sand both encountered opposition and difficulty in their lives. But it was the house that was built on the rock Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians 10. That was truly the house that was able to stand. The Titanic was a cruise ship that was impossible to sink, so they said. On a tragic night in 1912, the ship struck an iceberg and sank. Many died in that cold Atlantic Ocean. The scene outside the White Star office in Liverpool defied description. A great crowd of relatives of those who had taken passage on that ill-fated vessel thronged the street. On either side of the main entrance was a large board that had been placed, and above it was printed, on the left, "Known to be saved," and on the right, "Known to be lost." Every now and then a man would appear from the office bearing a large piece of cardboard on which was written the name of one of the passengers. And as he held up the name, a deathly stillness swept over the crowd, watching to see to which of the boards they would pin that person's name. Known to be saved, known to be lost. You see, there are only two categories: the saved and the lost. When we stand before God in eternity, are you among the saved? Be sure of your salvation. That's the first requirement to be used of God. Secondly, if we're going to be used of God, we must turn from all that we know to be sin. James 4:17 reminds us about the need of being cleansed vessels. And James says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Are we harboring sin and pockets of rebellion against the Lord? Be sure, hidden sin will take its toll in our lives in the end. Oh, sin can be deceitful. Gary Richmond, a former zookeeper, had this to say: "Raccoons go through a glandular change in about 24 months. After that, they're prone to attack their owners. A 30-pound raccoon can be equal to a 100-pound dog in a fight." Gary Richmond encountered a young, beautiful girl that had a raccoon. and he felt compelled to mention the change that was coming to that pet raccoon that was oh so cute in her eyes. The girl's name was Julie, and Gary mentioned to Julie about the pending difficulties and dangers coming at 24 months. She listened politely, and then she smiled. Oh, Bandit would never hurt me. He just wouldn't. 3 months later, Julie underwent plastic surgery for facial lacerations sustained when her adult raccoon attacked her for no apparent reason. Bandit was released into the wild. You know, sin, too, often comes dressed in an adorable guise. And we have a tendency to play with it. How easy it is to say, it's going to be different for me. But the results are predictable. Be sure your sins will find you out. The third requirement for being used of God is found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23. And that is that we need to clear up offenses between us and the brethren. In Matthew 5 and verse 23, Jesus uttered in the Sermon on the Mount, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and you remember that your brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." There's a Spanish story of a father and a son who had become estranged. The son ran away, and the father set off to find him. He searched for months to no avail. Finally, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in a Madrid newspaper, and the ad read as follows: "Dear Paco," Paco meaning Frankie in the Spanish language, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your dad." Do you know that on Saturday, 800 Pacos in the city of Madrid showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers? Oh, how easy it is to become estranged from brothers and sisters in Christ. And the Word of God says, "Leave thy gift before the altar, go thy way, be reconciled unto thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." The fourth requirement for being used of God is found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. Be of a forgiving spirit. The Word of God says in the Lord's Prayer and His model prayer for us, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Oh, how we need to examine our spirit as to whether we are forgiving. You know, forgiven people ought to be forgiving people. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the Word of God says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." There is the divine template. There's the model to which we are to yield ourselves to. A couple was married for 15 years, and they began having more than their usual disagreements. But they both wanted to make their marriage work, and they agreed on an idea that the wife came up with. For 1 month, they planned to drop a slip in what they called a fault box. The boxes would provide a place to let the other know about daily irritations. The wife was diligent in her efforts and approach. She put in a slip in the fault box, leaving the jelly top off of the jar, leaving the cap off of the toothpaste, wet towels on the shower floor, dirty socks not in the hamper, and on she went until the end of the month. Then after dinner at the end of the month, they exchanged boxes. The husband reflected on what he had done that previous month. Then the wife opened her box and began reading. They were all the same. The message on each slip was, "Honey, I love you." You know, the Word of God teaches us that love covers a multitude of sins. The fifth requirement for being used of God, if God is going to bless us for eternal things, is found in 1 Peter 3:7. We need to resolve bad husband-wife relationships. In 1 Peter 3:7, God's Word says, "Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." How important it is that husbands dwell with their wives. That word "dwell" implies spending time with. It was used of our Savior when He came to this earth and dwelt among us, where people were able to behold His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God. It's amazing how many husbands are satisfied to be away from home, and oftentimes even seek it, rather than resolving their differences. Oh, the need to dwell with the wife according to knowledge, not according to ignorance. Giving honor. The word "honor" has the idea of esteeming that partner as precious and of great value, and as an heir together of the grace of eternal life. Think of it next time you look at your wife. Next time you look at your husband, remember, Christ loved them so much that He shed His precious blood for them. Now, what is our response to be for that person? And the Word of God says that if we do not dwell with our wives according to knowledge and give honor unto our wives, the Word of God says our prayers will be hindered. The word ekkopto means to be hewn down, cut off, rendered inefficacious. This is why it is so critical that even people in leadership in the church have a marriage that is honoring to Christ, a marriage that truly is in fellowship one with another, lest our ministries and our prayers for God's people should be cut off, hewn down, as it's used in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 19. The sixth requirement to be used of God is found in Psalm chapter 119 and verse 9. Spend much time in Bible study and in prayer. You know, when we spend time in the Word of God, we're going to have the Lord's priority. We're going to have the Lord's focus. We're going to have a burden for the lost. And we're going to be investing, as the psalmist said in 139, "Lead me, Lord, in everlasting things." We're going to be focusing and placing our concentration and our efforts on those things that are going to endure for eternity. Psalm 119 and verse 9 says it so well. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Have you ever wondered if God listens to your prayers? Have you sometimes felt like it's a waste of time and that the heavens are closed to your petitions? I want you to consider this illustration. When Franklin Roosevelt was President of the United States, he often endured long receiving lines at the White House. He once complained that no one really paid any attention to what was said. Well, one day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. To each person who came down the line and shook his hand, he murmured, "I just murdered my grandmother this morning." The guests responded with phrases like, "Oh, marvelous chap, keep up the good work. We're proud to have you. Thank you. God bless you, sir." It wasn't till the end of the line, when he was greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, that his words were actually heard. Unimpressed, the ambassador from Bolivia leaned over to the president and he whispered, "Mr. President, I'm sure she had it coming." Well, let me tell you, we have a Lord who always seeks to hear our prayers. And if there's a problem, it's because we have distanced ourselves from the Lord. Because God's word tells us the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to our prayers. Oh, let us examine our hearts. Let's spend much time in Bible study and in prayer. Confession of sin, that we might walk with God. Principle number 7. In being used of God, develop good habits. Replace bad habits with good ones. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, speaks about the need to replace attributes and wrong thinking in our lives. Paul told the believers at Philippi in Philippians 4, 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Years ago, when the western United States was being settled, roads were often just wagon tracks. These rough trails posed serious problems for those who journeyed on them. On one of these winding paths was posted a sign which read, "Avoid this rut or you'll be in it for the next 25 miles. You know, it's true. Sometimes we can get in a rut as Christians. And habits are first cobwebs, but then they become cables. Someone once said, "Sow a deed and you reap a habit." Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. You know, most Christians will tell you that they want to serve God. But you know, unfortunately, it's only in an advisory capacity. Rather than being active, they'd rather just kind of be on the sidelines, kind of give their opinion as to whether or not they agree with God, with what God is doing in their lives. Ignatius of Loyola made the following statement in his prayer to God: "Teach us, good Lord, to serve thee as thou deservest. to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing that we do thy will. We're laborers together with God. I want to challenge everyone listening to my voice today. If you know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, won't you pray this prayer? Lord Jesus, I want to consecrate my life to you right now. Remove those sins of rebellion, those wrong attitudes, that faithlessness, that disobedience from my life. I confess my sin to you and pray that you would lead me in the way of everlasting things. Open my eyes that I might see, lives to touch, needs to meet, people to encourage, the Word of God to share, that others might know to come to Christ as personal Savior. Lord, teach me that I can bloom where I am for your eternal glory as I yield myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If we can be of any ministry to you, I would encourage you to contact us at the information at the end of our broadcast. Come and worship with us at Central Florida Bible Church. God will bless your heart as you seek to serve Him, and the best will be yet to come.
Thank you for tuning in to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Station, located in Winter Park, just 3 traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to some of the other 500 messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, www.strengthfortoday.info. That's www.strengthfortoday.info. Or you may call Pastor John Pereira at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaeff inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.